The reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30, and it can be found on page 1105 in the Church Pew Bibles, or the large print, 1711. Acts 11, 19 to 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found them, he brought them back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Holy Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you, O God who is mighty and a God who meets with us. Speak to us now that we go from this place different. Having met with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, what is the church? You must be sick of hearing that now, actually. What is the church? But you must have a good idea, hopefully, by now. As we know, the church is a family. I sometimes have referred to it as then, and have heard it's been referred to as the hands and feet of Jesus on earth today. I quite like that. We are his hands and his feet. The church is those who move in the power of God, who speak truth, demonstrating in word and deed that Jesus is God. We've covered this, haven't we, over these weeks. This is demonstrated in the existence of signs and wonders. We talked about signs and wonders. Well, last time I talked about signs and wonders, there was something between me. So healings, and it's in how we respond to the guidance of God as he leads us through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is the church? We are the church. The church, us. We proclaim Jesus, and I'm going to particularly talk today about proclaiming Jesus. These scriptures tell us to proclaim Jesus. It's not just for me and for others that stand up here, is it, at the front? That is for all of us. Now, don't worry, we're not all called to be a Billy Graham, although some of us might be in this room, and I'd love to see that. But actually, we are all called to share our faith. We are called to share Jesus with others, whether that be how we live, and it should be how we live, and how we speak, who we are. We are all called to share Jesus. It's not just for the few. This message that we carry, this gospel message that we carry, brings life. It's the message that God, as Jesus, died, he rose again, and we do not need to fear death, and dare I say, we do not have to fear life either. We can have life in abundance. We can live our life differently with God in it. We just need to let God into our life as we accept Jesus and we live from him. And it's him that transforms us, isn't it? It's our relationship with him that transforms us, nothing else. So in the time of the persecution mentioned in the scripture, instead of being extinct, the church actually grows. Think about that. It actually grows. It goes beyond as well the initial group of people, doesn't it? Those first few that were told or saw it. the centre, if you like, reaches out to the edges and beyond. I had a lovely picture in my head, actually, as I wrote that, of kind of like, almost like when you splash in the water and there's the ripples that go further, aren't they? Go out further and further and further. And that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? The message of truth hits, but it doesn't just impact where it hits. It goes beyond, further, transforming lives. Because the power of God is eternal and immense, beyond our understanding. And here we are in Antioch. We've got to Antioch now. It was a place where there is culture and there is trade. Significant place. It's the Antioch in Syria referred to here, and it's not in Pisidia, which is actually mentioned later on in the scriptures. So it's a particular place. It's a thriving city. Thriving. Many different languages would have been used in Antioch, but Greek was widely spoken. So that's the circumstances we're in at the moment. Persecution would not have been easy, would it? It's not an easy time being persecuted. But this wasn't just persecution, was it? They actually could lose their life because of what they believe. It wasn't just a few names or insults. They could lose their life. It's the worst times, isn't it, often in our life, when God actually does his best work. It's the worst times in our life when there is opportunities that God opens up that make the impossible become possible. It's those times when he works in us and around us and through us. When we trust him, when we hold on, even when things around us seem impossible or so hard, that's when God really turns up. So I'm going to turn this to us for a second. What situations are you believing for? What is hard in your life? What things do you need to trust beyond yourself? These messages, these scriptures are alive and kicking. They're alive for us today. They say something to us about how we live and who we are today. If they don't, we might as well go home. No point. If it doesn't impact who we are and what we live today, there is no point. What situations do you need to trust beyond yourself? The great thing about trusting beyond ourselves is that we have to learn to lean on Jesus. And it's not a crutch. It's something more than that. It doesn't just hold us up, it fills us. He is the restorer of our soul. He is the one that means that the outcome can be something amazing rather than something awful. He, our Jesus, makes it about him and not us. Trust in Jesus for things that are so hard. Letting him carry us when things look impossible. Jesus can do the impossible. He can change how we react to a situation as much as he can change the situation. Here in this scripture read, we are first reminded that they have been persecuted, haven't they? And this persecution, like I say, meant that they could lose their lives. And in that situation, what happens? They grow. They grow because they proclaim the truth and they walk in the power of the Spirit and they have a sense of belonging to Jesus Christ, their Lord, and each other. They grow. They grow. Like it or lump it, I know it's not about numbers. We can talk about numbers though, because actually all the way through these scriptures, every time we read and they multiplied, we have to be challenged by it. We have to be challenged by it. They grew. Of course, here it also states they were only sharing with the Jews, like I say, this small selection of people. But amazingly, God's plan to reach beyond the Jews starts to take root, doesn't it? As the message of Jesus is shared wider. The Greeks in this context probably means, well, it will mean the Gentiles, which means non-Jews. It's always beyond what we see or beyond what we understand. They hear about Jesus. And once again, in that bit of scripture, we came across those words that a great number came to know Jesus. A great number came to know Jesus. A great number. Not a few, a great number. I love those words. I pray for the day when I can say a great number came to know Jesus that day. Don't you want to see a great number knowing Jesus? Is he not the restorer of our soul? Is he not the one that restores our life? Is he not the one that brings abundance? Is he not the one that we need to know? Is he not the one that's going to change this nation? Jesus, not us, him. Then we have the encourager, Barnabas, sent from Jerusalem. I love Barnabas. We need more Barnabases. Can we all be Barnabas, please? It would really make life a lot easier, wouldn't it? But actually, isn't he wonderful? Barnabas. What a great person to send. What an amazing person to send. The one who encourages. And what are they interested in? That grace reaches those who are lost. Grace. That is receiving something we don't deserve, you know? God died for us anyway, even though we're imperfect. I'm still imperfect. Hard to believe, but it's true. I'm still imperfect. All of us are damaged. All of us. All of us actually fall short in every area of our life, you know, when you really think about it. We don't get caught in that. The good thing is that we have been restored and renewed every day as we encounter Jesus and his Spirit when we led him into our lives. That doesn't mean we don't try, by the way. I'm not saying that. Not at all. It means we seek to know the Word of God and live the Word of God through the Spirit. But it's a heart change. My heart is so in love with Jesus, I want to live his way. I want to be his way. I want to be his. It's a heart change. It does mean that Jesus died on the cross for every single one of us. And all of us will be at different stages in different things. It does mean in our brokenness, Jesus meets us and he brings us hope, peace, love. It means the message of Jesus is for us all, every single one of us. Not one of us is out of the reach of Jesus. Not one of the people in your family is out of the reach of Jesus. Or in your street. He wants to know us all. The most important thing is that we have a relationship with him. That's what changes us. My relationship with Jesus is imperfect. Shock, horror. It is. I know that. I get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes I get it right. But it's imperfect. I am imperfect, but my God is not. And in him, I can live a different kind of life, and I do live a different kind of life. I can love a different way. I can be restored and transformed because of him. So can you. Here, Barnabas is encouraged to see that the good news shared has led to changed lives. He looks at the good, doesn't he? He says, look, God's grace is over these people. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And what is it that's required of them? That they keep believing in Jesus and that their hearts are his. Most important thing, is your heart his? Are you believing in Jesus? Do you have that relationship? That we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and our neighbour as ourselves. Matthew 33:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbour as yourself. Most important thing. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? And how is Barnabas described in the scriptures? I like this. I'd love to think that if they were putting me in the scriptures, they'd describe me as this. Obviously not a man. Obviously, I do know that much. I'm not a man. He was a good man. He was a good man. full of the Holy Spirit, he had faith. A wonderful description. Isn't it great if we are known out there as people that are good because we love Jesus, that we're full of the Spirit and we're full of faith? You get that feeling Barnabas was good to have around, don't you? You really get that feeling that people liked to be around him. I just have that feeling about him. I just pick that up, don't you, for the scriptures. Because what happens? Great numbers come to know Jesus. It says that again. Great numbers come to know Jesus. Can't get away from it. We want to see growth. Spiritually, of course, in depth of our faith, in how we follow Jesus. But also, people coming to know Jesus. And it's going to be messy, I hate to tell you. Because they're going to come in and they're not going to be perfect like us. It's going to be messy. Are we going to go to them and we're going to go, do you know, this doesn't fit things. But actually, do you know what? My God, isn't it? Great numbers come to know him. The wonderful saying that I've carried, and I went to Pensacola many, I'm going off the script here, I went to Pensacola many years ago, which was where there was a big, massive revival, and there was a guy called Jeff Finnelt there who was the leader of the Black Sabbath, who'd got miraculously saved, amazing Christian faith, and, you know, he sort of said the difference between saved and not saved for a rocker was that they washed their hair. I loved that. But he also said a wonderful saying. He said, God catches his fish and then he cleans them. And that was something that really touched my heart, because I thought it's very easy for us to try and clean someone and then go, now you can know Jesus. You know, and actually, that we're in a process. All of us are in a process. We're all in a process of being restored. But isn't that great? We just need to bring them to know Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. People will see Jesus in us. They will hear his words as we speak, and they will believe, as they did with Barnabas. And others that were going through persecution, but still shared their faith. Barnabas then goes off and he looks for soil. He goes to Tarsus. It's a few days away from Antioch, so he went for a little toddle. Or I call it my introvert moments, which are very good to have. He brings him to Antioch. And they work together. We are called to work together. It's not all about what I do, or Simon does, or one of the, you know, David does, or any of them do. It's about what we all do together, as God's people. We are family. We are called to work together. So you have the great sinner, for a better word, Saul, who was restored after killing many Christians, and the great encourager, Barnabas, coming together to disciple others. Great team, different giftings. Great numbers were discipled by them. We then have to enter into learning, don't we? What God wants us to do, how he wants us to live, who he wants us to be, and enter into that. We need to teach that. Great numbers were discipled. It is quite possible that Barnabas wanted to bring Saul to Antioch to talk to the non-Jews that are believed there, because he knew very well that St. Paul had a real calling to the Gentiles. I love that. Do you know why I love that? He made room for Saul and his gifts. Praise God. Let's make room for each other and our gifts. Let's acknowledge them. Let's encourage it. Let's affirm it, please. Let's encourage it and move over for it sometimes. He made room for Saul and his gifts. We must make room for each other and our gifts, recognizing, affirming each other, encouraging the good. And allowing the grace of God to work on the things that need working on. Holy Spirit to do his work. And here they are called Christians for the first time, aren't they? Another definition of that, it was little Christ. It was a name given, it was a name the Christians themselves didn't use, actually. It was almost like a nickname that was given at the time. It was kind of like, you know, they're Christians, they're little Christ, they follow this Jesus Christ. But they had become known, that's the point, for being connected with the anointed king, the Messiah, Jesus, because it means anointed one. They'd known for Jesus, in other words. They weren't embarrassed to be known for Jesus, clearly, because they could lose their lives. They were known for it. We are those who belong to Jesus Christ, you and I. If you believe, hope you do. If you don't believe in Jesus and do as he... Sorry, if we don't believe in Jesus and do as he does, we are not Christians. Simple as that. Jesus is the one we need to believe in and follow and know. It is because of him that we are Christians, not us. It's him that saves, not us. Our works are worth nothing if we don't do them, because he lives in our hearts and his spirit lives in us. If we don't know Jesus, it's pointless. Christians never used the title for themselves in the scripture. They called themselves disciples or saints. They were disciples. A disciple to me is more than a follower. A disciple does what the master says. It does what the teacher says. Our life shows who they belong to. And it says that as the Spirit moves, of course, the prophets, of course, we have the prophets coming and rising up and giving messages. God is speaking. And once again, we are reminded that it is in adversity that we meet Jesus. It is in adversity, so often, the hard times. The prophets were to prepare the people for action. They gave a message that said, it's going to be pretty hard. But you know now, because we've told you, because God's told us, and here you go. Are you going to prepare yourself? Are you going to get ready? What is God saying to his people today? We must learn to hear God. We must learn to listen. We must learn to encourage the prophetic. God didn't promise all of it will be easy. He warns them. But we have to hear from God to know what to prepare for. What in this nation is God saying to the people? What is he saying to us as a church here? Are we listening to what God is saying? He speaks to us through the Spirit. And it mentions here how the church is able to bless others. It should always be a place of blessing, you know. They prepare and they provide. It's a famine. They prepared and they provided. At the end of the scripture, for providing for those who have little, we have to be challenged to have a heart for the poor, heart for the situations that are difficult in our society. And I know here that we're really engaging that with in this church, as we look at CAP and other debts and employment. We're really trying to engage with that, but we need to really engage with the poor in our nation, those who are struggling. As a family of God. Throughout all the Bible, we're challenged, aren't we, in that area? So what does this scripture teach us about being church? Well, we are, of course, to be filled with the Spirit and faithful to Jesus Christ. Praise God. We are to proclaim his name and tell everyone about him. Tell people about Jesus. Just share your story. That's all you need to do. We are to proclaim his name. We are to know that in the bad times, God is actually with us. And he blesses us in ways that we may not even see or understand. And it may take a long while to see it and understand it. And we walk together in that. If you're having a bad time, I want to know. If you're having a good time, I want to know as well. Share our times. And because we can see God in the middle of it then. And we are to expect growth. I'm expecting growth, not just spiritual, but numerical. It is us, you and me together, that are called to share the faith. And it is us who live different that will lead others to know Jesus. Us together. We are called to be a growing community. And many were added to their number. If we are not increasing, then we are, I have to say, are we telling others? Are we sharing? Are we sharing the faith? Are we sharing Jesus? If we are not increasing, are we proclaiming the truth? Are we walking out in the Spirit? Are we seeing signs and wonders? What is happening? This is the church that I'm reading about in Acts. It's the same God then as it's today. Who can you share your story with? Who could you demonstrate God's love to? As we go from here today, as you go to this week, and we are scattered, will you be sharing the message of Jesus? However that is for you, whether that is in how you are, in how you speak, whether it's sharing your story, whatever that is, are you doing that? Are you intentionally proclaiming the good news? And I want to just encourage us this week to maybe think of a couple people that you really would like to see know Jesus. Just think of a couple people. A couple people that you could perhaps share this week particularly with and pray for them. So I'm going to say is just pray for them. But don't just pray for them. Pray for opportunity to share with them. And be ready. Think about your story. What would you share with that person before you even meet them? And then ask the Lord to provide you with an opportunity. Invite them to come to church. Invite them to come to all the stuff we've got going on. Invite them to stuff. To be part of the family. Invite them in. Come and be part of this. It's brilliant. It's amazing. So that we could say, every day more were added to our number. Sign of a good and healthy group of people who love Jesus, the family of God, is that others will find him as well. Because we will be attractive. Attractive. Who is there amongst us that's called to be the prophets, to hear from God, so we can know that God is talking to us? We're all called to be prophetic people, but there are people who hear more from God. We all hear from God. Who is there? Let's share the word of God. Who is there that's hearing the word of God that we need to share with the world, with our nation? It's in a terrible state, isn't it? Let's be people who hang in there as well, even when things look bad and impossible. Let's hang in together, not separate, but together, encouraging each other. Look at the good things. Saying, do you know what? Wow, God's grace is there. Let us be people who trust, and people who trust his timing, trust God's timing. And let us be those who encourage others and be the church. Remembering that actually the church is you and I together. When you grumble about the church, remember you are it. You are it. And I don't mean we have to deal with things. I don't mean you can't complain about stuff you can complain. But actually, you know, you are it. The change has to come from us and who we are together. So I'm going to lead us now just to pray, and I just want to just the band stay there for a second, who can come up a minute. Because I first just wanted to think opportunities. I assume everyone knows Jesus, but we shouldn't. And I want to give an opportunity today where I'm just going to say a prayer, recommitting ourselves to Jesus. And it might for some of you be the first time even. And when I pray, just say amen. And if you don't want to say amen, you don't have to. It's fine. You don't have to agree with me. It's not what it's about. I want people to really know him, not pretend. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who died for us. You are the God who rose for us, and you are the God who loves us. We invite you into our life, whether that is for the first time today. Lord Jesus, I invite you in. Or whether that is a recommitting. Lord, I invite you in. Lord, we invite you in every single day of our life. Come, Lord Jesus. Live with us. Live with me. May I be yours and you be mine. And change my life. Renew my life. Restore my life. And help me, Jesus, to live your way and not my way. Come, Holy Spirit, now and fill each one of us in this room. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come in power, releasing us gifts, new things. And Lord, may we trust you in everything we do. Amen. Amen.